All right. Good morning and welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show. This is The Real Network live from Bulgaria. We're in a place called Prevets. Very beautiful. You can see in the background here, there's forests and mountains and lakes. And here's the lovely Jolene Roberts. Look at her. How's it, Jo?
How's it, Gareth?
Are you like her?
Very good. Thank you.
I'm very pleased. You woke up. You're the only one who woke up this morning to come and do the show with us because all of the rest of them are sleeping off terrible hangovers. Useless hangovers. Useless. And I'll tell you what, this morning we're going to brandish some sticks and go into the rooms.
We're going to find them.
What do you think of Bulgaria?
Well, it's in a time warp, yeah. I think. Where we are now is beautiful, but where we arrived was like we were stuck in this Eastern European Soviet.
Felt weird, huh?
Yeah, very.
But
very,
I mean, this was never on your list of destinations. No. I mentioned earlier when we started the show, and of course you've been on the show before. I think we've had Jonathan on, your boss.
Yeah.
And he told us about your business, which we could talk about in a second, and then the foundation. But I mean, you've been in travel for what, 20 years?
Nearly 30 years.
Jolene knows travel like the back of her hand.
Too long.
Yeah. Okay, so Joe, by the way, someone says matching hairstyles, nice touch.
Drink.
Oh, here's Ben.
I have a cappuccino, thanks.
Yeah. Very nice coffee. So I'll tell you what, it wasn't on my list of places that I wanted to go to either, I'm actually blown away by this place.
It's unique. It's lovely. It's different.
And the people are friendly.
Very, very. They can't speak English, but they're very friendly.
Well, yeah. And because they can't speak English, they sometimes look like they're cross.
Yeah.
What did you think was so funny? Have you found Carol? No, I don't think so. All right. So what's your highlight so far of the trip?
I would say the vintage cars.
Oh, that was nice, huh?
Yeah. Russian. What's that car called that we drove in?
You were also in a Lada.
Lada, yeah.
And there were only two Ladas, but we chose the right cars.
And we felt like we were in a Russian spy movie.
Well, I'm sure there was surveillance equipment in the boot of both of those cars. It was bolted in. I don't think you could take it out. It's been there for like 40 years.
Yeah.
Since fall of wall. Perestroika, glasnost. That kind of shit. Mikhail Gorbachev.
Yeah. That's exactly what it feels like. It's a James Bond movie.
It felt like a James Bond. And then we're at this resort, which is like a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, I would be surprised if James Bond jumped out of the restaurant today and said, how's it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Would you say that this is a place that South Africans should come to?
I don't think it's a place that a tourist that hasn't traveled extensively should come to.
In other words, that it's the kind of place off the beaten track. Mm.
I think you've got to be quite an adventurous traveler to want to come here because you need to, and you know, it's not a main European city. So there's not the sites and it's not geared for tourists, I don't believe. So I would say if you're well traveled and you're looking for something different to do, or you into that type of thing, then this is the place. There's nothing wrong with the place. Lovely.
Yeah.
It's not geared for tourists.
I was saying to Ben, it feels to me like travel must have felt in the early 1900s to people, because there wasn't a travel industry. People didn't even have holidays. Mm, mm. You know, when
you traveled because you had to be there.
When Thomas Cook, there was an actual Thomas Cook in the 1800s who started putting holiday packages together, and people never did it before then. You know, we think since the dawn of time, humans have been going on holiday. Holiday is a new concept for humanity. You've only been doing this for like 100 years. And I think that this place feels to me like an undiscovered gem.
Yes.
That people would only have figured out much, much later. And the people in this country are genuinely like surprised when they see a tourist.
Yeah.
They're not going around in groups. Like if you're in Paris, for example, you can't avoid the tourists.
Yeah,
we talk about over tourism.
Totally over tourism.
You know, in places like Paris, what the hell is that?
It's a birch's muesli. You want one?
No, thank you.
Any fruits?
That looks terrible.
Thanks. That looks like birdseed.
Honey.
No, this is fine. Thanks.
Ben's eating birdseed, everybody, just so that you know.
Birdseed.
Right. Carol's going to show up wandering around in the background, says someone. Do you know her? Because that's quite possible.
Yeah, very possible.
Okay, so what?
Leopard crawling, more like showing up.
Yeah, exactly. out of all the places that you have been and all the tours that you've organized, the corporate travel that you've organized, the individuals that you've looked after over all these years, your clients, Like, what are your favorite ones to put into play, and which ones are the ones that you've actually created something special where you didn't expect it to happen? Like, I think this place is pretty special, and I wouldn't have expected that.
I would say probably a special destination for me to have been to. So let me just turn that around a little bit. Not that I've organized, that I've actually physically been on.
Yeah.
Would have to be the Skeleton Coast in Namibia.
Oh.
And I've always loved Namibia, but that is just something else. I'm not somebody that enjoys big cities, and I quite like places like this. So I'd have to say the Skeleton Coast. And one other trip that Mona actually sent me on, because he didn't want to go.
Oh, yeah?
Or couldn't go. It was a couple of years back. Good couple of years back. Was to Nepal, to the Himalayas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we flew up and did a scenic flight around Everest. And
That must have been exceptional.
Yeah, that was exceptional. So I've done some really exceptional trips because I choose those type of trips. You know, when they say, oh, you're going to go to London. Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, you don't need to see it 100 times.
I don't want to see it 100 times.
Yeah, correct.
But I do enjoy, and I enjoy natural beauty. I enjoy places that are naturally beautiful.
I agree with you. Tracy also agrees with you. She says, Namibia and its vastness has my heart.
Absolutely.
Same with the Kalahari and the Karoo. The desolation is what your soul sometimes needs.
And if I have to tell you that Namibia, in that Skeleton Coast, there's probably 12 different terrains. So you've got the clay castles. You've got the sand dunes. You've got the sea over here. We were a press trip, so I had a chef standing on the beach fishing. Okay, nice. So as we came down the Skeleton Coast, and the whale bones, it is what it is. Eh?
Yeah.
And the loneliest grave standing there, you're walking along and here's this man cooking your fish. It doesn't really happen like that, but sure. We pretend. And we had the best fish I've ever eaten in my life. I saw desert lion, I saw desert elephant. It was spectacular. And it was not very far from here. But no, well, from here it is.
You didn't have to be on a plane Now this brings
Africa's
me.
Africa's got beautiful places.
This brings me to what I love asking anybody who's in travel, and we talk to Achi all the time.
Oh yes.
And we've spoken to a lot of the people at Tourvest, and now, I mean, I've got to ask you, because again, you're experienced in this regard. Like, what are your hacks for getting over like long flights, those transfers? You must have learned some tricks along the way. Especially about planes.
Yes. So take Rehydrate with you.
Okay.
Don't drink on the plane.
Don't drink on the plane. Did you hear that? No, that's useful. Because people do. They get on there and then they start puzzing and it dries them up.
I promise you, you'll spoil your holiday.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't have anything to drink, but one drink is enough. Make sure you stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Is a big one. And sleep as much as you can. On an aircraft.
It's difficult in economy, you know?
It is. I'm a big person, and I just take a sleeping pill.
Really?
Yeah.
At the start?
I get on the plane. I look at the movies. Generally, there's nothing really much to watch. Turn around, take a pill, go to sleep, and there we go. Wake up where you need to be. I mean, you can't be squishing around in the chair. No. It's so much easier. Just take a tablet and go to sleep. Wake up in where you are and away you go.
I love it. So that is useful info. And if anybody has any doubt about these things, what is this you brought us, Ben?
Lime silver.
Herbal infusion.
Wow.
Was this tea?
Oh. It is. I mean, I'm not a shifty guy, but I always steal tea. The one thing I always take.
Silver lime blossom tea. Look at this.
And he's stolen it.
Seriously, can I make you what I'm eating right now?
No,
it's terrible. Disgusting. It's fucking phenomenal. It's detox protein powder, Birch's muesli, Bulgarian yogurt, honey. It's an absolute story.
All right, bring us both one. While I ask Jolene So listen, Joe, apart from being in the travel business, and we could talk about that, we've had your boss Jonathan on, like I said, but you and Jonathan and his wife Tracy.
Yes.
You're the central kind of pillars of the TAG Foundation, which I want to talk about for a second, because this is just one of those organizations. And thank goodness we have people who do these things all over South Africa. And they are doing such unbelievably good work with individuals that make such a difference to society. And you're involved, especially here, with some of the girls and boys who go to school in Johannesburg. You guys help these kids out. You get them everything in terms of tuition and uniforms everything. And sports equipment and whatever they need.
Extra lessons.
Just tell us how it all started and give us a little background on the TAG Foundation.
Okay, so my boss and his wife started the foundation many years ago, about 16 years ago, 15 mm-hmm. years ago, with one child. And Jonathan has always been somebody that believes you don't give somebody something for one day. You give them something to change their life mm-hmm. and that they can help themselves.
It's that old adage of you teach a man to fish and then he'll correct, be correct. Able to live that way for the rest of his life, as opposed to just giving him a fish.
And they started the foundation, and it was quite simple in those days. They raised money. They paid for the child's tuition, for their boarding at King Edward's. And that was that for 5 years. And they looked after them.
How did they choose those kids?
They were children that were the school identified to them.
Okay.
As children that needed assistance.
Right.
In one way or another. So they needed financial assistance. They were going places, but they needed a little bit of a boost. Sometimes we help the child with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's only a 25% bursary, so we only do the
minimum
because that's all they need. But at the moment, from then until now, we've got 50 boys at King Edward's and 14 girls at Sparktown Girls. But there's Tracy, Jonathan's wife, is the hero behind this whole foundation. You know, it's easy to throw money at something. Easy to say, well, he has money. She spends most of her days with Senzo, our manager of our foundation,
mm-hmm.
who is an ex-tag boy, phenomenal young man, works with us. They spend 90% of their time mentoring these boys, making sure they've got what they need, making sure that they are mentally well and all around good people. You know, it's one thing to give somebody an education in a school.
Yeah.
But Tracy and Jonathan invite these children into their homes. They take them into social environments. They teach them how to be.
It's those soft skills, right?
Soft skills.
Like so many people are focused on a degree or on a school qualification or experience in the workplace.
It's just life experience.
The thing that I think trips up a lot of South Africans, particularly if they do come from disadvantaged backgrounds, is that they find themselves at a very smart dinner one night with really important people. And they're not sure what cutlery to use.
Yes.
Or
well, they feel inferior because they're not used to that. Now, Jonathan and Tracy make sure that these young gentlemen and ladies are well equipped to do this. It is something that, yes, we are all very passionate about. It's what we eat, sleep, breathe. Everything's about TAG Foundation.
And you're often looking for donations from people. You can't just fund this whole thing with what you guys have already got. And, I mean, it's important for people who want to make a contribution but maybe don't have the time to know that there are people who can do that stuff.
Yes, and run
sometimes, and sometimes you can give them money to help in your way.
Yeah, you can. We have an annual function every year. It's actually happening on the 17th of October. This year, and that's our main fundraiser.
And people can buy tickets for that.
You can buy tickets to it, you can buy a table to it.
Right.
It's on Facebook, it's on Instagram.
Cool. And by the way, we'll share all of that info in the description. James, if you don't mind, we don't want to
make you angry.
Yeah, we don't want to get you cross or anything. But if you can, we'll share that information. Yeah. I'll get it from Jolene and you can put it on the.
And it's important that you give back. Yes, there are tax deductions for the donations that you give, for the big donations. But it's more than that. It's knowing that the money that you are giving, physically, every cent of that money goes to those children. Because none of us get paid to do what we do.
It's not like these NGOs where most of it goes to staff costs.
No. There's no staff costs.
That's lovely.
It's
And you get hands-on involved too. I mean, Jolene is literally driving around buying soccer boots and all this kind of stuff.
Helping Senzo get what he needs.
Yeah, no, I think it's amazing what you guys do. And I'm so pleased that we got to meet you on this trip again, because I've been on one or two with you now before. But I actually met Jolene, 22 years ago or something? And she did sing a Dolly Parton song.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. You did. You had the
wig, Islands in the Stream.
The wig, the big tits, everything. Ben has brought us this. This looks
that looks disgusting.
Revolting.
You eat that.
Look at this.
I don't care. Ben is weird.
It's not horrible.
It doesn't look lovely either.
No, it's not great.
Your face is telling me a story.
Last night he had something called spinach cake. And we convinced someone at our table that there was pork cake.
God, what about the liver?
No, but when you're in a foreign country, right, you can convince people anything is going on, because they'll think, oh, well, it's local custom. Maybe they do. So there was this cake. It looked like it had a sort of gelatin thing with biscuits in it and all the rest. But I told this one girl who was at our table, I said, you want some pork cake? And she went, ugh, pork cake? Is it really? I said, yeah, you see, this is the rind.
No, man.
This is the pork rind. And then this is the, you know, that stuff that if you leave meat in a baking tray and it goes that fatty. I said, terrible. Yeah, it's a bit greasy, but it's nice. She was convinced it was a pork cake. Now, listen, there's someone here who wants to fight with you. He said, you've given horrible advice. Congo Krzysztofski says, that idea of yours that you shouldn't drink on the plane. He said, bullshit. I recommend at least two Bloody Marys. It prevents the airplane constipation.
Oh, well, you've got problems.
big problems.
Yeah.
Carl DeSantis agrees with you. London is one of the most overrated places on earth. Fucking fish and chips, and I can get better at my local Pora Cafe down the road in the south.
That's it.
There we go. All right. Don't talk to Jolene about the south. She reckons Benoni could take the south.
Oh, flat out.
Now, you and Brent Lindekew were actually having an argument about this yesterday. Really? He reckons that the south will win. They'll take over
and
Benoni.
And I said, there's no way.
No.
No way.
No, Benoni's fucking hard.
Yeah, we hardcore.
Yeah. Ben put gypsy tears in this. Possibly. It looks like bird shit, not bird food. It actually does look like bird shit. Yeah.
It looks like Artie Dar shit.
I think I'm going to just leave it over here.
I don't think that looks very nice.
Mm. No, all right. And then just to wrap it up, have you found anyone else from our group here this morning? Is there anyone else who's awake? I don't think so.
Who is? Let me just go and see. Here comes Ben.
If you can
scout. Bring him back. I'll go and find us somebody else.
Just blick some somebody if they know.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Joe. Lovely to see you. Thank you. All right, there's Jolene, everybody. She's up. Ben just hopped over the by the way, this is disgusting.
It's amazing. Uh-uh. There's so much good stuff in there. It's all you need in your life.
Listen, Carla says that the show has gone to shit because most of the content is what Ben is eating and his swallowing sounds.
Bullshit, Carla. It's cold all of a sudden here. I just went down to the lake. It's extra cold.
Okay. Apparently, this is interesting. There are people talking about what you should have on the plane to not get airplane constipation. Do you know about this? I haven't ever had airplane constipation, but I also haven't had airplane runs. I did have a very steely moment on the plane. I was sitting there on, when was it? Sunday? Saturday? When did we fly?
We flew out Saturday.
Saturday. On the flight from Johannesburg to Doha, I suddenly thought the most terrible thing that could happen to anyone on a flight like that, about 8 hours, is to shit yourself at the beginning of the flight and then to have to sit there for 8 hours.
Like, where do you go with that? Because you can't just go somewhere and then what do you do with the clothing?
Very bad. Very bad. Oh. I mean, you don't, and who carries around extra underpants and, you know?
But that's the thing. You've really got to prepare yourself as an adult for such things, knowing you're in a confined space with other adults. It's a bit like farting in nightclubs. You get people who do that thinking that it's anonymous.
Well, there was one guy who was doing that on Monday night at the bar.
I mean, I'm glad you brought it up, Gareth, because it was a sore moment for me. You know, you go out, try to have a bit of fun, and because it's noisy, people will be quite like anonymous as they fart. But don't ever do that.
No, I think it's extremely rude. I think that, you know, people who do that are antisocial psychopaths. this guy was standing there, and I mean, he was just opening his lunchbox the whole time.
Yeah.
Completely uncalled for. And not even, I don't think he was even aware, because he was drinking. And I think his radar was just off.
Yeah, that was a shame. It wasn't one of the finer moments. So I took a bit of a walk down to the lake. This place has an entire, it's like almost an Olympic-sized pool indoor down there.
That's right.
And the sword shop, I looked at it from another area now.
Yeah.
It's like Game of Thrones.
They haven't opened it up yet.
No, not yet.
Listen, I'm coming back with swords. I've decided. I've already got some at home. I'm going to need to come back with a box of those.
But it's such a nice...
I don't care if I spend all my money.
It's such a nice hotel, and you think gift shops are going to have scarves or shirts or some sort of tech. But here, it's just literally all the swords from Game of Thrones are being thrown into one room, and that is their gift shop here.
It's phenomenal. And you can imagine that there are not a lot of hotels that have a sword shop in them. I mean, this isn't, you know, medieval Europe in the 1300s, but it is Bulgaria.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. Apparently, so somebody says here that if you are in a plane, it's Congo, Chris says, if you are in a plane and something terrible like that happens, you flush the end of, you can't flush that stuff on a plane. I don't think it'll go down that, you think it would?
If that doesn't work, okay, and your soiled jocks now get stuck in the
even more embarrassing.
Now nobody can use the toilet.
That's terrible.
And business class will not welcome you in.
No, I'm telling you, then you're screwed. So apparently, listen to this, Instagram has announced new teen accounts with enhanced privacy settings for users aged 13 to 15 in the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. These settings will be turned on by default, making their content unviewable to non-followers, pedos, and requiring approval for new followers. So parents can supervise their child's account, but they won't be able to view their message content. Well, I wonder why that is. That's a flaw, potentially. The system relies on user honesty about their age. Well, that's where it's going to fall apart, because teenagers lie.
Yeah.
They just lie. That's all they do. I mean, I admire Instagram trying to do something about this, because I think it is a big problem. I think it's probably a bigger problem on TikTok or on X, but at least they're trying. Apparently, the UK's Online Safety Act requires platforms to keep children safe or face fines. Ooh, fines. You know, paedophiles don't mind paying fines, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, but paedophiles have had it easy so far.
They have, but they really should be stopped.
You see, this week, Crooked Hillary was talking a lot about this, of how...
Crooked Hillary?
She wants people.
What did she say?
She wants people to be arrested for saying inflammatory things or misinformation online. That's the thing about the Democrats. They are so obsessed with curtailing people's lives and controlling them.
Yeah.
And when Crooked comes out, she only says a few things here and there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't...
And mostly you can ignore her.
You can't be a murderer and a public speaker. But she seems to straddle that too quite well. But she is. And this
is a woman of talent in that respect. We've got to give credit where it's due.
This is becoming one of the narratives now, is that they're just trying so hard.
I almost wish she'd become president, because then she wouldn't be so goddamned ornery everywhere else.
Murderous. Well,
yeah, murderous and full of like advice that we didn't ask her for.
But this is the thing.
She's like the Barbara Streisand of politics.
Yes, very well put.
Witch.
Very well put.
But what a witch.
It's just we've been having these conversations for quite some time now about free speech. It is dangerous. It is essential at the same time.
Oh, please, dangerous. But,
no, but I mean, when they say it's dangerous, what they're saying is that kids are seeing things that's misinformation. There is really horrible things that are shaping people's voice views on things.
Yeah, so like Hillary's husband, so like talking to 13-year-olds on Instagram.
Human society will find a way. Order will be restored. Everything works out. The moment they start trying to pull the strings in this, it gets way worse.
Apparently, this is interesting. Instagram is allowing you to see who is pinch zoomed on your pictures. So all those scantily clad women will now know you've zoomed in on their bikini area. Yeah, I don't think this is true, Carl.
You're talking cuck, Carl, but that's funny.
But that would be funny if it were true. Imagine if you could find out who is zooming in on your crotch area on your pictures. That would be fantastic.
I've never done that, but now I want to go on Instagram and actually look.
Pinch zoom on something. I don't know. Hey, I just think these guys have got their priorities all wrong. Like you say, they're going after free speech. They're going after people doing the disinformation or misinformation thing. I've always said, like, this has always been an issue, and people have figured it out. There used to be newspapers and people used to read like You magazine, which was full of stories about like aliens abducting people.
No, that was People magazine.
Ah, You, People, Potato, Potato. It's all the same to me. The fact is, all these bullshit publications have been doing this for years, and people could figure out more or less what was true and what wasn't. Why do we need Hillary to like make sure that we're not reading rubbish?
So have we spoken about P. Diddy?
No, what's been happening?
So actually jail.
Oh.
Actually now in jail. He was denied bail. He pleaded not guilty, obviously, of being a sex trafficker and all-round racketeer.
Right.
But no, he's actually in the big house, so to speak.
So they've arrested him.
Fucking pop-ups. Yeah, he's been arrested. He hasn't been found guilty of anything yet. So, I mean, obviously, there needs to be a whole trial here.
Sure.
But he did. He turned himself in because these claims are hectic.
Very embarrassing.
They are really rattling up there. So I think they should put him in the same place as R. Kelly. I think that would be funny.
Yeah, let's see if they can collab inside a prison. I think it's very embarrassing. This is terrible news. For anyone who's a fan of P. Diddy's, we always thought he was one of the good guys, you know?
Did you?
No, not really.
I mean, after he stole Sting's song.
Yes, that's also a good point. I think
that was the first red flag. And also, he changed his name 3 times. Why must you change your name in life?
Yeah, always be very, very suspicious of anyone who doesn't use their real name and then changes it more than once. Huh? You can't be called 3 different things. You've got to be called what you actually are. Sean Combs. What's wrong with that?
So he reportedly offered to pay $50 million as a bond.
Wow.
As like a upfront sort of bail thing. And they said, nope, you're a creep.
Just to go back to Bulgaria for a second. We can always talk about P. Diddy another time. Because we are in Bulgaria. This is the last day we're going to be doing the show from here. Friday's show, James will be handling along with Sandile and Simpiwe. I just hope he's in a better mood by then.
I think he will be. I think close to the weekend, James becomes a lot less sort of
aggressive.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, James, we don't upset you or anything. So I'm just telling people that he will be on running the show with Simpiwe on Friday. We will be on a plane. It's the only reason we won't be doing it because we found a way to do this show almost anywhere.
Always.
And we're very sorry that we're not there on Friday. But as I said, James will handle it beautifully.
Well, why don't you do us all a favour and fuck off back up your mother's minge where you belong?
We now have about 4 people next to us having breakfast over there. I don't think the English
James,
speaking.
James, please, you can't do
James,
that.
It's a family place we're at, James.
It's revolting. I will say, and this is what I was going to make a remark about Bulgaria for just a moment ago, you put some Bulgarian honey in here.
I did.
I think that's quite easily one of their very best exports.
I've become a bit of a honey aficionado in the last sort of 6 months, and this is the best. So inside, there's a whole honeycomb kind of thing. And
yeah.
It's so good. It's so, so good. It's obviously
take a picture
sweet.
Of that and post it.
Yeah.
I think that could be something people want to see.
It's a very good point to make, Gareth. It's here somewhere.
Okay. Well, while we're finding that. Some other stuff that we need to know here, some useful information. How mayonnaise is helping scientists to crack the code of nuclear fusion. I kid you not. Researchers at Lehigh University, I don't know where that is, but they tell me it's real, are using mayonnaise at experiments to better understand the dynamics of fusion capsules for activating and advancing inertial confinement fusion as a viable energy source. Don't nod your head like you know what that means.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You do?
No.
They're examining the stability challenges of nuclear fusion with an innovative approach that could inform the design of more stable fusion capsules. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
You know that. You know, you're still with me?
Yeah.
This research aims to contribute to the global effort to harness clean fusion energy by addressing the problem of Rayleigh-Taylor instability. You know what that is.
Okay. That's where I'm lost.
Oh. I'll explain it to you later.
Very good.
But it occurs in the plasma state during the fusion process.
Okay.
Neither solid nor liquid nor gas. Plasma.
Does James give you these stories?
Let's not insult James. Let's not piss him off, all right? The use of mayonnaise provides a way to mimic the flow conditions of the plasma without the need for high temperatures and pressures.
Cool.
I can't wait for the day when they allow us to use pebble bed modular reactors in our own backyard.
And what the hell is that?
So you'd have a pebble with some nuclear material in the middle.
Okay.
And what they do is that they generate heat. You can heat up water, for example, which will turn some turbines. Those turbines turning will create energy. You'll be able to power up your own house. And you don't even need that many pebbles.
Mm.
Of course, containment might be a problem. Your dog might end up with four legs that are growing out of its asshole. You know, you can't be 100% sure it'll work. I say the risk is worth the reward.
Well, success always comes at a price. We've known that forever.
No, I mean, four legs out of a dog's asshole. I mean, if you're a chicken farmer, it could mean like extra drumsticks. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
See, always look for the positive. I say spin it in a positive direction. And I would love to see, we got very close. There was a company that was developing the idea of pebble bed modular reactors during the time of Thabo Mbeki and Jacob Zuma, but unfortunately it fell flat. They shut it down because of the green movement, all these assholes with their wind turbines and solar.
Which never amounts to anything anyway, really.
And let me tell you, I want to give Bulgaria credit. There are no wind turbines here or solar plants ruining the landscape. This place looks good. We don't need that. It's ugly and unnecessary. Oh, matching jackets, Gareth and Ben sitting in front of the trees. Ah, okay. These are actually, they're not the same. No,
it's not really.
No,
it's not even my jacket. I just,
it's someone else's. Okay.
It's good. So cold here.
When a mommy atom and a daddy atom love each other very much, they give each other a very special hug and then they make a baby plasma fusion, says Congo Chris, explaining it to you like you're a child. Thanks, Chris. We actually needed that. We wouldn't have known how to make sense of it otherwise. Azalea says, James is totally setting you guys up. Stop talking about nuclear what in an ex-commie country, KGB boys. Sure, Azalea. Very aggressive on your front there. I'll tell you what. This lake built on an old nuclear reactor. Some of these fish have wings. I saw one fly past my window on the fourth floor last night. Kid you not. So you got to be very, very careful what you say in ex-communist country. Although here I'll tell you very free. I do think that Rusi, our driver in the Lada yesterday, I think he was listening to everything and understood all of it.
So you know those spy movies back in the 80s? Some of the ones that weren't like big budget, basically. He looked like one of those characters. He was the unassuming hero of the story.
He was dressed very nicely.
Yeah, he would have like an ordinary office job. And then he had the microfilm that had like a certain sort of information and code that he then distributed.
I was looking for microphones in the car, but I think it probably has one of those directional ones.
But even his suit, like he looked like he was in the 80s. Like this
long hair.
There's so many amazing parts about this, but it is a bit of a time warp here and there. And it's so fun, especially when you're about eight beers in. It's just such a cool place to be in that respect.
I will recommend solidly, because we only got like 25 minutes left of the show. And I'll say at this point that I think any South African who's looking for a place to go and hasn't decided yet, and you've done all the main kind of things that you wanted to do, you know, London, Paris, New York, Rome, I think you want to come here. It's fascinating. And it's not inexpensive, but it's not hugely expensive.
Yeah, not by European standards.
You know, as far as Europe goes, I think you get more bang for your buck here than you would in Germany.
Where we are, I'm not sure we touched on that with Jolene, but there's between peak winter and peak summer, the difference in temperature can be as much as 60 degrees.
Yes.
So it gets down to a full-on minus 20 here.
Yeah.
And you can go skiing, as we mentioned
skiing.
On Monday.
What? Yeah. Plom, blom, bom, blom.
Pomparova,
that's it.
As we mentioned on Monday. But when it's proper peak summer here, it can get up to like 40 degrees.
Yeah, that listen, it was quite hot yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday was really nice in the sun.
Okay, a couple of listener questions here from the comment section. So Raven says, did I miss the picture of Paco? I wanted to see if he looked like he smelled. I'll see if I can find you that picture. Raven, here he is.
Yes, again. The answer is yes.
Paco, man in black shirt. Black Asics shirt. Don't mess with him. I think Paco could... Is that Gypsy Tears? Oh,
no. No, I just love it.
Okay, lip ice. Very good. Other comments from the comment section and questions. Who will do the bounce today?
We've got the whole team on Thursday. We've got a special guest coming in. I won't reveal his name just yet, but there's a guy who wants to get in the show for quite a while. And Sandile is going to be the host. So I've given them show notes. They're no doubt going to absolutely fuck it up. But they'll do their own thing, which is important. And, you know, James is a massive part of that show. James is in the shadows. He has his own camera, his own microphone. We've got a new female voice that'll be on the show this week. So yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to that.
Arbot says I need to do a Lekker Hillbrow Sunnyside tour again. Well, I mean, if you want a cheap holiday, I suppose that's about the cheapest you can get, because you'll only lose what you carry on you. You won't have to spend a cent, but if they catch you with anything valuable on you, it'll be taken from you with violence.
So we've got, let's just say we've got 10 decent hours left here. What are we actually going to do? We got the spa? Or are we going to go into Plovets, the town?
Spa. We got to go to the gym because I missed out on that yesterday. You went there. And I do need, when I get back, no more fat.
At, the gym yesterday, there was this guy grunting. So you know if you go to like a bodybuilder kind of gym or a place where there's squat racks and deadlifts and that kind of stuff, you're going to hear a bit of that. Weights are going to crash. At a hotel gym where the heaviest dumbbell is like a 12 and the heaviest kettlebell is also about a 12.
It's totally unnecessary.
You have no right to be grunting. And this man, it was just, it was like five of us in the gym. And they're never that big. This man was grunting and he was groaning and it was like warfare. I'm thinking this will be a bit classier.
I hope so. It's in a, it's in part of the building, which is a spa. Apparently they've got a mineral spring near here, which feeds it. There are thermal things that they've got downstairs. I'm not sure. They probably have steam rooms and saunas and hot stone kind of experiences.
Oh, we're absolutely doing that.
Yeah, and then they've got the massages, and then they've got this indoor pool, which also looks very inviting. So I think it's this is a real resort hotel. It's an interesting kind of architecture. I think there's a little bit of kind of traditional Bulgarian here. It looks very Swiss, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we almost feel like the only place I've been that I could compare this to in terms of the way it looks right now is Geneva in the summer. I mean, it's very like Switzerland in that respect.
So that's why I want to go into this little town here, because we're not going to see a small town. From here, we go back to the airport.
That's right.
To go into the small town and see what the shop is, what shops there are. Because judging by the lights from last night, Plovets is not big.
We discovered it's like in Dalton. A shop, we went into Bilit,
yes,
which is a supermarket.
Yes.
We discovered whole rabbit. You could buy a whole rabbit.
So
skinned?
The whole rabbit was skinned, and then all the organs are in a separate package. You know when you buy like a salad from Woolworths, and then you get the dressing?
The dressing and the packets.
That's where they put the organs in. But this thing, it was like, you imagine what a rabbit would be like if you had to do this with it, okay? Or if you pick up a cat and you go like this with the legs, and you stretch it a bit. That's how the thing presents in its packaging. So for around 200 Rand, you can go into the Billet, which is like the local Woolworths-y kind of place. And there it is.
While you tell stories about other things that you saw in shops, I just want to find the picture of the bearded woman.
All right,
because that's worth seeing.
But that was another thing I thought was so fun about Sofia as well, is that the main tourist, not tourist areas, the main parts of the city, you'll see English with their local language written in places. But you literally go like one street off, and you literally take one turn, zero English, and everything's different. It's just, it's quiet. It's, and you go into these shops, but wow. I mean, it wasn't just the one rabbit. You can then get rabbit, diced rabbit. There was other sort, some other sort of fowl.
Not very nutritious meat, by the way,
but plentiful.
It's worth saying.
Plentiful.
Plentiful. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, this is what medieval peasants lived on for thousands of years. Yeah. So I found the bearded woman. This is quite disturbing. Rabbit's actually really good, says Azalea. It is. I've had rabbit before. But there we go. Carl hitting on the no nutritional value. If you only eat rabbit, you'll get scurvy and die. That's why it's cooked in a stew with vegetables.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, there was a whole little gold district as well. So you could buy fancy suits and get married in this other section of the
town. Yes, that's right. There was one street where there was the church, suit shop, dress
jewelries.
Shop, jewelries, everything.
Yeah.
And photography opportunity.
There was. And there was also, like, there's no stray animals. And it's also a city with no cats. So the doves were very relaxed. Fat and relaxed.
They were sleeping right at the entrance to the subway. You could pick up one of these pigeons and take it away. Not that you'd want to. Okay, the poras love rabbits, says Seamus. Not just the poras. Everyone in Europe eats them. When and if you do the spa, you can send a video. What's this? Can you send a picture of the type of treatment massages they provide? No,
Judas, I know where you're going with that. You want to see Cliff without his shirt on. I see you.
Not going to happen. Look at these people. We've got some really carnivorous people here.
Like rabbit
pie sounds good. Rabbit is lovely meat. You look into its eyes and then you eat it. Some really revolting, I have to say, revolting comments coming from the comment section this morning.
She's always so active.
Donna says rabbit's awful. Had it in a pub in Wales, spelt like the fish. But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that they would have. And I think you're thinking of Welsh rabbit. No?
What is that?
It's not rabbit.
Yeah, okay.
And the Welsh can't spell anything properly. So I originally thought it was a spelling error. Turns out it's not. Welsh rabbit. Now, let me just find you this bearded woman, because this is something else. So let's explain. This is on the main street that we were talking about just now.
Let's explain that we heard the bearded woman before we saw her.
Coughing.
It was one of those coughs that have seen a long winter, even though she's just come out of summer. And there was a lot in there. And it was a cough of just no hope.
Yeah. So what I had to do in order to get this picture is I had to pretend I was taking a selfie, because you also, bearded woman could be aggressive, could be quite, you know,
but it was like
nasty.
It was like man with no legs. You don't want to take a photo, but you're also kind of curious.
Yes, absolutely.
Which we didn't do.
So I've got two pictures here to show you. The one is over the top of my head and the other one from the side. Here she is. Now, I'm sorry, this is the best quality I could get here, but that's a woman.
Yes.
Wearing sort of Bulgarian Crocs. I don't know what you'd call those. But full beard.
I think those Bulgarian Crocs started out life as red.
There we are. There's a different angle, but same woman. I mean, there's no real... I can't get closer than this. You can see he's even got the word crop in the top there.
Don't worry. Like on Instagram, Carl's pinching in as we speak.
Absolutely. So this is the best I could do for you, but full beard.
Yeah.
I mean, more than you've got on your face right now.
Which is probably the most I've had on my face, but it was a full gray beard.
So there we are. Still famous thing from Bulgaria, still famous for this. It's amazing. Gareth scrolling through 3,000 selfies, says Mapelo. I don't have a lot of selfies on my phone, actually. Ben will back me on this. He's always one to attack me if I'm if I'm doing too many selfies. Rarebit is a cheese, an ale, and a Worcestershire sauce over toast. Yes. Disgusting. Only the Welsh could eat something like that. Carl says, fuck sakes, we've been looking for my mom who went missing 2 weeks ago. How did she get to Bulgaria? Mom, come home. We've booked your weekly wax. All right. I'm afraid we're going to have to end this show a little bit early, because we've got to get off to breakfast and a lot of very important things.
And we're giving a talk today as well, which is going to be fun.
Exactly. That's the whole reason we're here.
And the talk is with Brett Lindekew as well. So he might not pitch up.
He's been very poor in his general demeanor.
If you follow
his contribution to everything.
If you follow Brent on social media, give him shit in his DMs about just not stepping up. I mean, look at the two of us. It's cold out here. It's
and beautiful. We're still here.
It's cold. We're here. We're doing the show.
Right.
We're dressing up.
Right, exactly. The Kiffness apparently made Piers Morgan's show with his Donald's Eat the Dogs. I love that song. There was even someone singing it here yesterday. So well done to the Kiffness. I do think that actually someone got it to Donald Trump, because I think he retweeted it at some point.
Well, we've always known Donald uses social media really well, and he does love it. And he's obviously got people who forward him that kind of stuff. Because remember, a while ago, there was a thing, like a WWE meme video where Donald was actually on there. Because remember, he was a celebrity before anything else.
Sure.
And they were pulling the piss out of CNN. Like, CNN was the wrestler about to get pinned.
Yes,
and then Donald
that,
And then Donald actually shares that kind of stuff.
Well, you see, he's got a sense of humor. You show me a time where Crooked Hillary ever shared anything.
Zero humor. Zero
and humor. Kamala Harris, I mean, apart from cackling like that all the time, she really doesn't have a sense of humor either. She laughs at stupid stuff.
Are they having another debate, or is it just a once-off?
I don't know.
Because I haven't really been following that at all.
Claude!
Ah, Claude, I got your jacket.
No, we still want to... Claude, come and say how's it quickly. Just come and say hello.
Come, take a seat.
This is... we've had Claude on the show before. He's no stranger to our audience. Come and have a seat quickly. No, we just want to ask you what you think of Bulgaria. You what?
Someone would give me a shirt.
So you would never sit next to someone in an Arsenal shirt?
Never.
Claude, I just want to quickly ask you, because we've got like 5 minutes left of the show here, but Bulgaria, what do you think? Your first time here as well?
Yes.
Interesting? You dislike?
It's actually quite nice. I mean, I was quite surprised. It wouldn't have been a destination I would have put on my bucket list, but it's been very beautiful. People are... fairly friendly. Yeah.
Okay. And I noticed that you sped through customs, unlike some of us, border control. You went straight through. You've got VIP treatment there.
Biometrics works here.
Yeah. Didn't work for me. I had to put fingers on scanner.
When you've got that red passport, you just...
You have a better passport than me. Yeah. Claude's got a lot of stuff that's better than us. He was also pulling some fucking dance moves last night, let me tell you. The man has more energy than anybody else. And what time did you eventually call it?
About one, eh?
Yo, one in the morning.
Yeah, 12 South African time, so it's cool.
Oh, okay. So not so bad then. Oh, all right. And the plan for the day today?
Apparently, we've got some celebrities that we're listening to this morning.
Celebrities.
That's not Brad Lindekew.
Yeah, good things guy, right?
Yeah, that's him. Oh, yeah. Except he couldn't even stay for the party last night. Did you notice?
Yeah, he had to prepare.
Oh.
Big event this morning for him. It's probably all right. The biggest one he's had.
All right, everybody. That's about all we got time for this morning. But I appreciate you being with us. And we will be live in the studio again on Monday morning next week for a show. Even though Tuesday's a holiday, we're not skimping and trying to get off on doing Monday's show. We will be there. And Friday, James and the rest of them will take care of the show. And James, please don't be angry. There's no need for you to get aggressive with anybody this morning. Just be happy. And Friday, I know you'll handle everything beautifully. So thank you very much.
Why don't you do us all a favour and fuck off back up your mother's minge where you belong?
Cheers, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye.